We have a little term, a little phrase that I have been finding, I've been using it in my prayer, and it began to become, I became conscious of what I was saying a little bit more often. Do you ever do that in your prayer? After a while, you sort of have to say, I'm using this a little more often. And that phrase has been in the midst. And so I opened up the concordance and I found that there are a number of scriptures, and it was even spoken in the scripture that he read here this morning, in the midst of his people, this is what he will have. And I find myself praying like that a lot, in the midst of this situation, right in the middle of it. And I found that in the midst of daily cares of life, life itself, something happens. Right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of everyday life, do you hear a still small voice? Have you heard it? Do you sense the presence of the Lord right in the midst of life? In the very midst, these are thoughts that came to me in this, in the very midst of a dark time, do you see a light? Do you feel the light? In the very midst of your battles, when you're crying unto the Lord, in the middle of it, in the very midst of it, who are you crying to? Do you feel he's there? And then I thought of this one, in the midst of intercessory prayer. And that's what caused my mind to realize I've been using that. In the midst of this place that you have this person, we want you to work in the midst of it. In the midst of our life, God is working right in the middle of it. And then it caused me to think about the scripture over in Revelation 20, verses 7 and 9. I'm going to take part of that. And it said, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations and to gather them together to battle. And they went up on the breadth of the earth. And what happened? He compassed or encompassed the camp of the saints. So wouldn't you say that the saints are in the midst of, what do we have in the world today? We have spiritual darkness, but we're in the midst of it. We're in the very middle of what's happening all about us. Then I thought of John, the 17th chapter. We won't read very much there, but we want to present it to our minds this morning. The special prayer that Jesus prayed for you and me and for the church. And it says that over at the side. It says a special prayer for the church. And it says prayer for the keeping of the saints. And prayer that the church may be kept pure. How? In the midst. In the very middle where we're compassed about. This word encompass means to be surrounded. And so when you and I go out in the midst of the world and we feel maybe we're compassed about, Jesus prayed a prayer for you and for me. And he wanted the Lord the Father to keep them. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. And so I want you to keep them in the midst of this dark and evil time. So there is a prayer that has been prayed that is ongoing even for 2014. And I feel that he is keeping us in the very midst of our life here. He's keeping us in the middle of the race, right in the midst of the race. And what is the race is all about? Don't you and I have many obstacles to try to hinder us in our race? Do you feel it? Do you sense that that there is an oppression or something that is trying to keep you from progress. Every obstacle to do what? To turn us aside or to turn us back. It will pay you and me to understand where we are in this age, in this stage of life. It will pay us to recognize that there aren't beds of roses all along the way, that we're going to have to meet some rough places. We're going to have to meet those places where we're put to the test. God is going to have a tried and a tested people. And it will pay you and me to recognize that and to not feel that something has happened. Doesn't it tell us that over in one place? Think it not strange, the fiery trials that are sent to try you. We don't need to get down under the trials, but we need to recognize God's doing something in our life and He's taking us to an ultimate end. So I want to turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and look at verses 10 through 13. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For you and I wrestle not against flesh and blood." That's not our battle. My battle is not people. Oh, you might say, well, people enter into the battle. But it's a battle that is against something else, principalities. These principalities are the word principalities. It's territory of a reigning prince. So who is reigning in the world today? We know it is Satan. Oftentimes we may have issues and with even individuals. But we need to look past the individual and see who is prompting this battle. The battle is coming from the very pits of hell, trying to hinder your race, just to turn you aside or to turn you back, one or the other, to try to hinder your progress, to try to hinder the effectiveness of your life. So you look past this individual that may be your trial or part of the trial, and you say, my battle is with the principles, the principalities, unseen things. We talk to the little children in Sunday school, and we talk about God is everywhere. Do you see Him? No, we don't see Him. Maybe we might, by faith, feel Him, but we know He is everywhere. And it is the same with Satan. We don't see him, but we know he is there. We know he is a ruler of darkness. We know that Satan is working in every way that he can, many times behind the scenes. We know that right in the midst of life itself, of my walk with the Lord, my race, I have an oppressor. I have one that is trying to hinder my race. And so the scripture says, we don't wrestle with these kind of things. We recognize them. We recognize this is the battle. This word wrestle the root word is rest, W-R-E-S-T. And I want to give you the meaning of it. It says to seize forcibly by violence. So we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness. Don't you remember the scripture that said, we take it by force? The violent takes this thing by force. This is where we are this morning. In other words, I recognize where the battle is, so I am equipped. He says He will equip us. And He is wanting to equip us with the faith, with the courage, with the strength, with the power, with his might. And you and I need to be focused upon those things and not be discouraged by what we are seeing in the world, what we're feeling around about. Maybe you feel the darkness. Do you feel it sometimes? I feel the very darkness of this world sometimes. That's why I've been saying in the services since Monarch how the Lord gave me this phrase of a song, "Send the light," because light will dispel darkness. Thank the Lord. So you and I are not wrestling, but we must seize this thing forcibly by violence. Another definition said to turn from the true meaning. That is another meaning for the word rest. But that's what the enemy is trying to do to you and me, is to turn our minds away from the truth and what it stands for, what the Word of God stands for, what the strength of the Lord stands for. So we are struggling today. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's a picture of our battle this morning. That's where the battle is. I'm thinking about a word that the Lord has been impressing on me, and I have been finding it in my prayers more often. And that word is courage. Even though I can look at the Word of God and I know that from beginning to end, that there are pictures or examples of all kinds of battles from the very beginning, all the way through the Old Testament. We count those as types and shadows. The battles that the children of Israel fought, the weapons of warfare that they had. Many times the word of the Lord said, "The battle is not your battle, it's the Lord's battle." He says, "I will fight for you." He told the children of Israel that many, many times. And oftentimes he would say, "You won't even have to have a weapon." And we understand unconventional, is that the right word, weapons that he had? Or many times it was something that they didn't have anything to do with. He sent the bees, and the bees fought the battle. Other times he set the enemy against themselves and they fought each other. And other times he just used a trumpet and a pitcher and a shout. And it caused such confusion that they won the battle. Oftentimes they reaped a spoil that was 3 days in gathering. God gave them the victory. But he didn't allow them to glory in their own weapons. The scripture says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not going to go and take up arms and go and fight literal battles and shed blood. But I want to tell you, if you're not strong this morning in the Lord, you'll not be able to face the battles that the enemy is going to set in your path.
That's right.
He has a plan, and he's looking at every one of us. And I've often said it here in the congregation, the devil is willing to work a lifetime for a soul, but God is willing to work a lifetime for you and me too. We're not hopeless. We're not left without help. So this morning, we may look at the Word of God, and we may see all of the scriptures in there that tells us about the battle and how to fight the battle and how to work through the problems and the troubles of our life. We can do that. But I found that as I looked back over my own life, how the Lord allowed me to grow in grace and grow in strength and grow in knowledge. And he doesn't take a newborn child and just subject, I'm talking about spiritually, and subject that child to the wiles of the devil. Did you know that the newborn is stronger than Satan? Oh, but you might think they don't know how to fight. No, but there's one that's going to fight for them. And I still say a newborn child of God is stronger than the powers of Satan. Why do I say that? Because the Word of God says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So when I give myself to the Lord, when you give yourself and his Spirit comes into us, we have a stronghold of the Spirit of God then. And yet we go back to the weapons of our warfare. Do we know how to fight when we're young? No, but he's going to fight for you. He's going to fight for me. And then he's going to begin to teach us some things and give us weapons. Do you know what most of our weapons are from? The Word of God. When he begins to inspire the Word to us and the promises, and we can stand on the Word of God, doesn't that give us courage? Doesn't that strengthen us? Because it is the Word of God. Some of you I've told this to, our daughter Teresa, had a dream. And I know that the Lord blesses her with encouraging things like that. In this dream, I'm not going to tell all of it, just the basic parts, but at one point she saw an old songbook. And she picked it up and she opened it up, and the title of it was, "O Church, It Is Midnight." That's the title. She said she read the verses, but she didn't remember them, but she remembered the title. It pays us to understand where we are in the scope of time, because that's the kind of battles we're going to have. As she went out from this place, she looked in the eastern sky, and it was like midnight. And then there was a quartet of men singing a song. And she said for 2 or 3 days she was able to sing the song and the tune, and now it's gone. But there's only one phrase that stayed with her, and it was, "The gates of hell shall not prevail." Isn't that biblical? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. But I want to tell you something. The gates of hell will not prevail against the Word of God. The Word of God is eternally set, and you can stand on it and trust in it. And it can become your weapon. Amen. It can become that thing that will strengthen and encourage you and feed you. Have you ever read the Word of God that's been inspired to you? And you never forget it. Every time you read that scripture, you remember the inspiration. Oh, I have a number of scriptures that I stand on just like that. One of my main scriptures, I will never forget when the Lord gave it to me. It was such an inspiration, and it worked. And it was Isaiah 41 and 10. "Be not afraid, for I am thy God. Be not dismayed." Oh, are we going to be dismayed? We're going to be dismayed from time to time. But the word of the Lord deals when I am dismayed. "Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." What's the rest of it now? Most of the time I can just say it all. "Be not," someone help me. "For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness." What a scripture, what a promise. Has your faith taken hold of that from time to time? It has helped me over and over. That as well as many others. And I'm sure that each one of you have your own little scriptures that are your weapons of warfare. Thank the Lord. Courage. Do we need courage? We need courage. As I consider the Word of God, and I consider even the Old Testament and the battles that the children of Israel fought and the leaders that led them into battle, and I think about Jehoshaphat over there in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, I believe, the 33rd chapter. Jehoshaphat was a man that feared God, and when he was told there was a great group, a great army coming against them, much greater than they, what did he do? Did he run and try to hide? No, he went before the Lord. He brought it to the Lord and he said, "We are not able to face this great company, but we need something from you." And I want to tell you, God came in and he said, "You're not going to have to fight this battle." That's one of those places where they reaped a great spoil. And God intervened for them. Oh, I tell you, this is a wonderful thing to study the Word of God and let it give you courage. What is courage? Courage, that by definition says it's an ingredient that all of the elect of God, does everyone have courage, this kind of courage? No, because we have many people out there that has a carnal courage. They can go and fight in our wars, and they have some kind of courage that they can face that kind of maybe even death. But this is a courage that goes beyond human courage. This is a courage that the Lord is able to give to you and me. It is the quality of my mind and my spirit enabling me to meet danger and opposition fearlessly, calmly, and bravely. Do you feel brave today? In all of your battles, do you feel like you're a brave warrior? Oftentimes, we may feel weak, and we may go before the Lord and say, "Lord, I am so weak." But you know, Paul felt weak, didn't he? Didn't he say that when I am weak, then am I strong? The word of the Lord came in. There's a place in there where Paul recognized his weakness. It's good for us to recognize our dependency upon God, to recognize he is the only one that can truly help me. I cannot go to individuals. I can and I should at times. But there is a song that the Lord has brought to my mind, even this morning. There are some things that we can't share with other human beings. That song that says, "Cast thy burden on the Lord." He said, "Not to human ear confiding thy sad tale of human woe," or whatever. But it tells us who to take it to. There are some cares, some battles, some problems that it's hard to really share with anyone else. And yet there's others that we can go to each other. The scripture even verifies for you and me to empty from vessel to vessel. There's a place that we need each other. But yet there is a place that I have to go to the Lord. Only the Lord. I can only bear my burden just to the Lord's ears. Lord, help us. So courage, I need courage this morning. We all need to be strengthened and encouraged this morning. Courage also means manliness, to be a man. Wednesday night, we had a scripture read here in the prayer meeting, and it was concerning, "Quit you like men, be strong." And the one that spoke of that strength was not just for the men. It was for the women. It was for the young people. It was for the children. We all can be strong in the power of His might. Thank the Lord. Now, the antonym of courage is to be a coward, or it's to be timid, or to have fear. Fear is paralyzing. Fear doesn't allow me to have victory. Fear keeps me intimidated by the battle or what the enemy is trying to say or what the enemy is trying to, the picture he's trying to paint. Fear and doubting and discouraging remarks. Have you ever been around anybody that never really had positive remarks? That they were always fearful and they were always doubting if this was going to work out or if this person was going to be healed or maybe this person is going to die. I want to tell you, doubtful remarks and fearful feelings is going to affect our faith. It's going to affect our courage. It will affect us to the point that we will be downcast, that we will be discouraged. We must watch our remarks to other people. We will affect them. We will influence their victory. So we need to be careful with our own words. Numbers 13 and 33 said this. It's actually there where the spies had gone in and searched out the land. And how many came back with a good report? Only two. How many came back with an ill report? 10, the majority. And so the majority came back, and this is what they sort of gave a report. They said, "We saw giants over there, and we look like grasshoppers. And we are not able to take this land. They are stronger than we." Do you see the negative report? How did it affect the people? The scripture says the people began to weep and cry. And they said, "We're not able." They believed that report. They took that and they were affected by it. They even said that the land was eaten up with the inhabitants. Now, who would have the courage then to go into battle? But there were two that had courage. They said, "We are well able. Our God is well able. We don't look at our own strength, but our courage comes from the fact that we have seen what God could do in the past." Do you ever remember what He's done for you in the past? Do you ever look back and say, "The Lord did this for me before. He can do it again." Yes. Do you ever sing the song, "He'll do it again. He'll do it again. I may not know how." Did you know that's a song of courage? To strengthen and encourage you. There's many songs to give us courage. Songs have a message. An underlying message. It ministers to my spirit. It ministers to my mind. It ministers the word of God, the promises of God. Songs do that. So we don't want to affect our brother and our sister, do we? There's another scripture in Deuteronomy 20 and 8. And it says, "What man that is fearful and faint-hearted, let him go back to his house. Lest his brethren's heart is faint as well." If you and I are in a place and maybe we feel discouraged, maybe we feel downcast, maybe we are faint-hearted, let us not spread it around. Let us go to someone and get the victory, that they can share the burden. Let us go to our God who answers prayer, who hears prayer, who is able to help you and me with every need. Thank the Lord. Oh, I don't want to be a discouragement to my brethren. I don't want to cause them to feel faint-hearted either. Our reactions sometimes can be read by our brethren. I have a testimony a battle that I went through for a long time here in the congregation. A number of years ago, we were down to just a little handful of people here, and it was very discouraging. And I allowed that to really affect me. And everyone knew it from even the look on my face. So I went through that battle, and I got tired of the battle. And I went to the Lord, and I didn't quit until I had the victory. Until I came to the place that I said, even if it's only Lorne Vance and me, it will be okay. And the Lord gave me such victory. The congregation that was here at that time, they saw it on my face. It had an impact on the services. I began to be joyful. And that had an impact on the services. We have an impact on the services. You and I have an impact on each other. And the Lord has blessed our services. I thank the Lord for the little congregation here. But I want to tell you something. The devil is still around. If there are times that it's just down to a little handful again, guess what the battle could be? But we don't give in to it. We go back to the victory and claim the victory. We're still joyful in our salvation. We're still joyful in the Word of God and in our services. And doesn't matter if there's only two or three. He said he would be in the midst. It's the blessing of the Lord that's coming down. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for the numbers now. But God blesses. Oh, I want to tell you this morning, victory is sweet. It not only impacts others, your victory is important to you, but it's important to everyone around you. Your victory will be apparent. It will be catching, so to speak. I want that kind of victory. You can affect my victory. Oh, I want to tell you, the congregation here knows this. I love seeing the hands raised in song. I cannot help but say, praise the Lord. And of course, you know, I'm looking at the song and I'm saying, where's their victory? Sometimes it brings tears because I'm so happy, tears of joy, that I see growth. I see encouragement. I see courage to be able to fight some of the battles. I know some of your battles. And to see you press beyond the battles and to be able to have your victory. I won't embarrass you. Well, I'm looking at several faces this morning that I know God has brought the victory. And you have courage that at one time you didn't have. But you have the courage to stand against those things that was trying to drive you back. Thank the Lord. So we want to be an encouragement to one another. Now this, I want you to consider this verse. This is in Psalm 78 and 9. And it said, I don't know that I've ever read this verse before, but it's the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows. What does that mean? They have the weapons. The weapons are in their hands. But what happened? They turned back in the day of battle. Did you know that you and I have the weapons handed to us through Christ? We have the power. We have the weapons. These people were armed and carrying bows and didn't use them. We must use the weapons that he has given us. Don't turn back in the day of battle. Face the deadly foe. Go forward. How many songs do we have about courage in our book? Have you ever looked it up? Courage, brother. Work and suffer. Doesn't sound too good. Take courage in those places. Forward, forward is the battle cry. Onward, onward. Those are songs of courage. Don't fall back. Don't slip back. Don't allow the enemy or the battle to discourage you. Be encouraged. Thank the Lord. Now, the last part of our thoughts this morning is to encourage us. First scripture is Ezekiel 22 and 30, and I'm just going to give you parts of it. It says, I sought for a man that should make up the hedge and stand in the, what? In the gap. For what? For the land. What is the land? It could be like this little congregation. It could be the church of God. It could be our families. God's searching for someone that will stand in the gap for the people. And it said this. There's another scripture. I'm going to turn over there and read it at 2 Samuel. This is a wonderful scripture. I even wrote here beside it. Oh, it's so good. That's what I wrote here. 2 Samuel, the 10th chapter. And it's verses 9 through 12, actually. But I'm going to read 12 first and then go back up. The cry was, be of good courage. Let us play the men. Isn't that going back to what we had Wednesday night? Quit you like men. Be strong. Play the men for our people and for the cities of our God and for the Lord. The Lord is calling for us to rise up and be a man. And in this particular passage, it's such a good passage. Sometime if you want something to study in your devotions, study these places in here. Just let it feed you, you know, because they're facing a hard battle right here. The children of Israel were, and they saw the front of the battle was against him before and behind. Verse 9 is where I am. And he chose all of the choice men, and he put them in array against the Syrians and the rest of the people. This is a cooperation effort. Now, when you and I are working together and maybe we know someone is in a battle, we need to help fight their battle. But he had a plan here. He said, now I'm going to take these, the choicest men, and put them in this spot, and the rest of the people we're going to deliver into the hand of my brother or his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. And if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will help thee. That's what we need to do to help each other, to have courage. Help each other. And when you see that my battle is strong, you come and help me. Isn't that a beautiful passage? That's what the Lord wants for his people. 2 Chronicles 32. This is over close to where I was speaking of Jehoshaphat. But this was just before Jehoshaphat, but it's such a good scripture. And it says this. We're looking at 6 and 8, 6 through 8. He set captains of war over the people, and he gathered them together in the street of the gate. And he spake how? Comfortably. To them. What does that mean? Don't you know that that is so encouraging when somebody speaks comfortably? None of us like to be reprimanded. And well, you need to be farther down the road right now. You need to be stronger. You shouldn't be this weak. You've been in it long enough. You need to. None of that works. We need to always speak comfortably to each other. And here's what he said. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king or for the multitude. For there is more with us than with them. Now, isn't that something to give you courage? And then it says, with him is the arm of flesh, but who is with us? It is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And what happened to the people then? It said the people rested themselves upon those words. See how important our words are? If we don't have a testimony of victory, it would almost pay us just to be quiet. Because they couldn't rest on our words. Speak comfortably and remember who's fighting the battle. It is the Lord. We have just a few more scriptures we want to read now in Psalms to encourage us this morning. Encourage us in our battles. And the first one is the third chapter, verse 6, I believe. And it says, I'm not in the right chapter. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me around about. Would you be afraid? 10,000 people. David here, he knew his God. Do you know the Lord? Do you know what he can do for you? Do you know that he can set the battle array? He can fight the battle. I remember hearing a story one time, and I love these kind of stories. It was a missionary, I believe, that was in Africa, and the chief of the tribe was very much against this missionary and had purposed to kill him and his family and burn their house. And they did come, but they left. Has anybody else read this story? Later, that chief got saved, and he told that missionary what happened. He told him that we came to kill you and to burn your house. And he said, well, why didn't you do it? He said, because your house was surrounded with giant warriors. Oh, I like those kind of stories. You don't have to be afraid of the 10,000s of people, because it says, that set themselves, I don't have to be afraid. Go to chapter 27 and verse 3. Oh, this is just a few of the verses, 27 and 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Oh, I like these verses. 118 and 6. I would like for you to be able to go to your devotions and look up all of the scriptures that give you courage. Maybe Wednesday night we could share some of the scriptures that the Lord gives us to increase or encourage us. Verse 6, 118, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part. with them that help me. These are just some little thoughts that the Lord seemed to impress upon our heart. May just be a little simple message, but I believe the Lord wants us to be increased, encouraged, not be timid and weak, but allow His Spirit to strengthen, face the battles, be like a man, do it for our people, do it for your people, do it for the Lord. That's what that scripture said. Do it for the cities of God. What are the cities of God? The congregations. We're not here on an island. This little congregation isn't an island all by itself. There's other congregations. We're doing it for them too. We're affecting the church of God if we have the kind of courage to face the battle and to win the victory. I desire your prayers. I know that the enemy has a plan. And I know that he will try to discourage. But I also know that God wants me to be encouraged. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.